The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, text number 1, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on November 28, 1975, in New Delhi, India.
Sri Vishava Uvacha Nayam Deha Deha Bhajam Niloki Kastan Kaman Arahadivi Bujangji Tapu Dibbong Putrakajina Satyam Shuddhit Jasmad Brahma Sokham to Ananda. This is 5th chapter of the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a last contribution of Vyasadeva. Srimad Bhagavatam Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. In the beginning, introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva giving the information that this Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. Nigama means Veda. So, compare the Vedas as a tree where you can get many fruits. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is described as Nigama Kalpataru Galitam Phalamidam. Kalpataru means desire tree. Desire tree, you can get any kind of fruit from that tree. In the material world, there are many different types of trees, fruits and flowers. But you can get one type of fruit or one type of flower from a particular type of tree. But there is another tree that is in the spiritual world, that is called desire tree. Whatever you want from that tree, you can get. Kalpataru. The spiritual world, description of the spiritual world is there in the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakara sagma su kalpa brikha. There the trees are kalpavrikha, nigama kalpataru, kalpataru or kalpavrikha, the same thing. So, Vedas means knowledge. So from the Vedas, you can get all kinds of knowledge, both material and spiritual. Therefore it is called Veda, knowledge. So, in that tree of knowledge, the ripened fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is written by Vyasadeva after writing 4 Vedas and the 18 Puranas, the 108 Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra and Mahabharata, in which Bhagavad Gita is set up. So, after compiling all these Vedic literatures, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. Then his spiritual master advised him to describe the activities of the Supreme Personality of God. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat, Bhagavan, the word Bhagavat, and Bhagavat is also in relationship with Bhagavat or Bhagavan. So, every sloka of Srimad Bhagavatam is full of spiritual information. If we take advantage of this great Vedic literature, then we become fully aware of Bhagavan and the devotees of Bhagavan. Therefore it is named Bhagavatam. But this Bhagavatam has to be studied from the very beginning and take the lessons from live Bhagavatam. There are two kinds of Bhagavatam. One is Grantha Bhagavatam and the other is the Person Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that if you want to understand Bhagavatam, then you must approach a person whose life is Bhagavatam. He said, Bhagavat Parobhya Bhagavatasthane. That if we learn, listen Srimad Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam, then it is very easy to understand the spiritual knowledge given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here, Rishabdev was the father of Maharaj Bharat, under whose name this land is called Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha is derived from the name of Maharaj Bharat. So his father, Rishabdev, he is accepted as an incarnation of Krishna. So he is giving instruction to his sons before retirement. In our Vedic culture, there is compulsory retirement. There is compulsory retirement. That is Vedic civilization. Varnasrama. What is going on, and we are going on in the name of Hindus, but Hindu is not mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Vedic literature, the principle or the institute followed by the inhabitants of Bharatvarsha is called Varnasrama Dharma. That is real occupation. Varnasrama Charvata Purushina Parapraman Vishnu Aradhate Pungshang Nannat Tattosukara. Whole Vedic civilization means realize God. That is Vedic civilization. Vishnu Aradhate. We are part and parcel of Vishnu, of the Supreme Lord, as it is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivamsa Jiva Bhuta. Jiva Bhuta. These living entities, not only human beings, but everyone, Sarvajoni Sukauntaya, in every form of life, the living entities are covered with the material dress. So, Bhagavad Dharma or spiritual life can be understood when one has understood his identification, what he is. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the first lesson given by Krishna to Arjuna is to bring him to the spiritual platform. When Arjuna was lamenting on the body of his relatives on the other side, he was too much affected in the bodily conception of life. How I shall fight with the other side? They are all my brothers, nephews, my teacher, my grandfather, and who has fought with such enemies in the history? Everyone fights, there is fighting, but not fighting with own men, even at the present moment, although there is sometimes civil war. So Arjuna was too much affected by the bodily conception of life. That is the disease of this material world. We are thinking in terms of this body. But the Shastra says that jasyātma buddhi kunapi iti dhātuke sadhik kalatra desu bhoma ijyadhi jatīrtha buddhi salilena karhichi janesu avigneshu saiva gokhara. The bodily conception of life is animal life. If I think that I am this body, I am Indian, and you think that you are this body, you are American or Englishman, in so many ways we are designated. So long we think in these terms of knowledge that I am this body. Jasyātma buddhi kunapi iti dhātuke. This is a bag of three elements, kapha, pitta, vayu. Or if you don't understand kapha, pitta, vayu, we can understand that this body is made of flesh, bone, mucus. What you'll find if we dissect this body, you'll find flesh, blood, bone, urine, stool, so many things, these material things. But if we think that I have this body, composition of blood, flesh, bone, and urine and stool, is that very good intelligence? No. Therefore, Shastra says, anyone who is thinking this body, combination of these elements, combined together, it is called tridhātute, saiva gokhara. Such person is no better than the cows and the asses. Because I am not combination of this blood, bone, flesh, and urine and stool. I am not his combination. Aham brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. This is really realization knowledge. So unless one comes to that platform, that I am beyond this blood, flesh, bone, urine, stool. Aparayam itastu vidhimi prakritim para. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. That these material elements, earth, water, air, fire, sky, mind, intelligence, ego, these are eight separated energy of the Supreme Lord. And the Lord says, aparāyam, these elements are inferior energy. Itastu vidhi me prakritim para. Beyond this, you try to understand there is another nature, prakriti, What is that? Another nature. Jiva bhuta mahabaho jayidam dharjate jagat. That is jiva bhuta. So mamaivam sa jiva bhuta. These living entities, Krishna says, they are my part and parcel. So we are now covered with these material energies, although I am spiritual energy. This is our position. So this human form of life is a chance to understand that I am not this body, I am spiritual energy, I am Brahmasmi. This chance is given to the human form of life, not to the cats and dogs. So, the same principle is explained throughout all the Vedic literature in different ways, just to understand one's identity, that he is not this matter, he is spirit soul. And when he understands, then the next stage will be, then what is my duty? Because at the present moment, we are acting on the bodily concept of life. How this body shall be kept in comfort, how the bodily relationship, wife, children, family, community, society, nation, they're all expanded bodily concept of life. So, in any conception of this material world, if we live, then we are living like cats and dogs. We are not living as human beings. Otherwise, where is the difference? When we see on the street two dogs are fighting, one dog is thinking, this neighborhood is my jurisdiction, and why you have come from other jurisdiction in this neighborhood? The fight. The bodily concept of life, or he's thinking, this neighborhood belongs to me. Why you have come from other neighborhood here? I say sometimes to my student, this is immigration department. One dog is barking on other dog, why you have come here? This is dog conception of life. The spiritual conception of life is that everything belongs to God. That is the fact. Ishavasam midam sarvam. Everything belongs to God. The land, water, the sky, it is said, bhumi rapa analo vayu. This is expansion of the energy of God. So what is the use claiming God's property as my property? That is mistake. Dasyatma buddhi kunala. This body is also God's property. Everything God's property. Because Krishna says, bhumi rapa analo vayu thangamano buddhi deva. This microphone, what it is? It is made of some earthly metal, wood, but the material belongs to God. I may have taken advantage of taking this material and manufactured something. That does not mean it is mine. If a carpenter makes a good furniture, and the wood is supplied by somebody else, and the carpenter is paid his wages, when the nice furniture is made, to whom it will belong? To the carpenter or to the person who has supplied the ingredient? It is very common sense question. So, actually nothing belongs to us. We also do not belong independently. We are not independent. Krishna says, jiva bhuta, mamaivamsa, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Just like this finger is part and parcel of my body. So the finger has no separate existence. If this finger is cut off from my hand and it has a separate existence, it will fall down on the street. It has no value. Others are trampling down. Still nobody cares for it, although it is the same finger, but cut off from this body. But so long this small finger is attached to this body, it has value. If there is some disease or pain, I can spend thousands of dollars for curing it. And when it is cut off from my body, it has no value. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, when we are forgetful or cut off, it cannot be cut off, but still, when we forget God, then we have no value. The same example. When I ask my finger to come here and give me some itching sensation, then the finger is in normal condition. And if the finger cannot give me any service, that is useless. Similarly, we being part and parcel of God, our business is to give service to God. That is our normal condition. And if we do not give service to the Lord, if we keep separately, then we have no value. This point is stressed here, that nāyāṅ deha deha bhājāṅ niloke kastāna kāmān ar hati vīr bhujāṅgī. Rishabhdev is advising to his sons, my dear sons, this body, especially ayaṅ deha, niloke, in the human society, it is not to be spoiled. Nāyāṅ deha deha bhājāṅ kastāna kāmān. It is not to be spoiled. Engaging is uselessly, very hard labor for satisfaction of the senses. Because this kind of business is there, birbhujang. Birbhujang means the stool-eater hogs. The hogs are stool-eater and they are working very hard day and night, and the business is kastana kaman, to satisfy the senses. These two business, where to find out source of income and eat anything without any discrimination, just like the hog has no discrimination. It is prepared to eat even stool. So, this kind of life, to work very hard and get foodstuff without any discrimination, and then satisfy the senses without any description of sex. A hog will find they have no discrimination of sex. Mother, sister or anyone will find. These are the natural instruction. So therefore, the example is given here, my dear son. Don't live like hogs, toiling whole day and night and eating stool and without any sex discrimination you go on satisfying your senses. This is the first attack to the human civilization, that simply work very, very hard and then satisfy your senses and you take it as civilization. It is not civilization. If we think over these two lines, then we can find out that our modern civilization, it was formerly also the same, but not so extensively at the present moment in this age of Kali. The hog civilization is spread very widely. Therefore, this instruction is very important. Nāyāṅ deha deha bhājāṅ niloke kastāṅ kāmān arhati bhīr bhujāṅ. Human life means very peaceful life without any trouble. That is Vedic civilization. these books written by Vyasadeva. He was writing these books, such exalted knowledge, in Haridwar, in a secluded place, very peacefully situated, and that knowledge was taken by the Kshatriyas, and they were distributing, as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajar Sayo Vidu. Vedic knowledge was first of all taken up by the Kshatriyas. The Brahmanas, they used to cultivate knowledge, and they used to advise the Kshatriyas, rulers, and they took it and they distributed to the general mass of people for the elevation of this spiritual platform. This is civilization. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Chatut Varnang Maya System Guna Karma Vibhagas. This is creation of God, Chatut Varnang, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. This is called Varna. And spiritual cultivation, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So our civilization, Vedic civilization, means Varnasamadhar, following the four principles of Varnas and four principles of Ashrama. The ultimate goal is God realization. That is the human civilization. If there is no God realization, simply working hard day and night for sense gratification, it is accepted as hog civilization, dog civilization. That is stated there. Nāyaṁ adīho dīho ājāṁ dīlokī kastāna kāmān arhatibī bhujāṁ dī. Then, if you give up this kind of civilization, then what is to be done? Tapo divvaṁ putra kājīna saptā suddhe. The next engagement is tapasya, tapo. Tapasya means austerity, penances, voluntarily acceptance of something, some means of activity which may not be very palatable, but still we have to do that. Just like a patient, if he is forbidden by the physician not to take a certain type of foodstuff, it may be pain just like typhoid fever. The doctor advises, don't take any solid food. But if I am accustomed to take paratha, so in typhoid, to take paratha means death. Similarly, we have to follow this Shastric injunction. If we really want to come out this material bondage means this body. Our real problem is this body. That we do not know. Nūnaṁ pramatta kurute vikarma jadindriya prītaya aprinoti. This will come. That we have now become mad after sense gratification. Pramatta. Pramatta means prakṣṭa rūpeṇa matta. Matta means mad. And when this affix is there, prefix is there, that pra means prakṣṭa rūpeṇa, sufficiently mad. So, in this material world, we have become sufficiently mad. Not only mad, but sufficiently mad. Nūnaṁ pramatya kurute vikarma. And we are engaged in activities which are forbidden. Forbidden. Just like we are drinking, this is forbidden. We are eating meat, this is forbidden. We are having illicit sex, this is forbidden. We are having gambling, this is forbidden. This is called vikarma. But because we have become mad, whole human civilization is meant for these four things. Illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication and gambling. So, nūnaṁ pramatta kurute vikarma. jat indriya pritaye aprinoti. So we have become mad and we are engaged in this forbidden work. If we want to get out of this clutches of material bondage, then we must stop these forbidden activities, the activities of a madman. If you go on like that, then we shall have to accept another material body. The problem is that you are suffering threefold miseries, every one of us. Maybe the degree different, but under being intoxicated, we do not take the sufferings as sufferings. That is another madness. But the sufferings are there. That is being pointed out by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma mittu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshana. You may be very perfect by arranging your material civilization to enjoy life, but you will not be allowed to leave. That we do not see. There is no insurance. I am making very nice arrangement for my future enjoyment, having bank, good bank balance, nice skyscraper building and other things. But where is the guarantee that you shall live and enjoy? That we do not see. Therefore we are mad man. If you are arranging something utopian for happiness, and if you understand that I shall die tomorrow, then immediately my enthusiasm will decline. Who is going to take so much trouble? I am going to die tomorrow. So tomorrow not, say 100 years after, you will have to die. You cannot escape this. Janma mittu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshana. So therefore Krishna says that you are very scientifically advanced. There is no doubt about it. But what about your death? That why you shall accept death? You are eternal. Na hannate hannamane sarire. You do not die after the destruction of this body. Nitta sasatayang na hannate hannamane sarire. These informations are there. But you are not considering that. We are going on to establish ourselves very tightly in this material world. But Krishna says that he will not be allowed to leave. These things are to be considered. Therefore they have been described as pramatta. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma jat indriya pritaye aprinoti. They are acting sinfully, or they are committing so many sinful activities, and they are becoming entangled for another's body, which is the resultant action of our sinful activities. Therefore Rishabdev said that nasadu manne, this is not good, that you are wasting your time simply for sense and gratification, and you do not know that you have got in next life. Dehinasmin yatha dehi kaumarajo vananga jara tatha dehantara prapti dhiyasattva namayati. You are living entity, you are not this place and bones. You are spirit soul, and you are within this body. You are now entrapped with this material body, and so long you will act irresponsibly, you will get another material, tatha dehantara prapti. You will get another body, and that body is not guaranteed. There are 8,400,000 different forms of body. Sarvajonishu kauntriya, although the spirit soul is there. But this particular type of body, the hog's body or the man's body or the demigod's body, there are so many. Jalajanavulakhani sabaralokhavinsati. There are 900,000 forms of body within the water. Sabaralokhavinsati, and there are trees, plants, 2,000,000 forms of body. So we have already gone through all this body, and we have got this human form of body after many, many millions of years by evolutionary process. Therefore, Rishabdev says, Ayanadeha, this body, don't think it is ordinarily received. Nayanadehurdi ubhajang nilopi. In the human society, you should not waste it like the hogs and dogs simply for sense gratification. This is the Bhagavad instruction. You should soberly use it. So, how soberly used? That is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Jānti deva vrata devān pitrīn jānti pitrīn vrata bhūtejā jānti bhūtāni madhyājino ki jānti mā. You can utilize this body properly for a higher standard of life. You can go to the higher planetary system. The higher planetary system begins from the sun. That is another subject matter, but so far we get information from Srimad Bhagavatam. There, sun, then moon, according to Bhagavatam. And I think we are talking about this thing, that whether the moon is the first planet or the sun is the first planet. So far we understand from Vedic literature, the moon is the second planet. The sun is the first planet. If we consider like that, then moon is beyond the sun planet. The estimation is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. 1,600,000 miles above the sun, the moon is situated. Now, if we take consideration of the sun planet situated 93 million miles from Earth, then add 1,600,000 miles again, it comes to 95 million miles away from the earthly planet. And how you can reach there in 4 days? 95 million miles away. If we apply our common sense, then it appears they have never gone to the moon planet. It is all bogus propaganda. It is not possible. So, śāstra cakkhuṣya, our knowledge should be through the śāstra. That is practical. And our process of knowledge is this. We get knowledge from śāstra, like Bhagavad Gita, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, Vedic knowledge. We do not claim to be very big scientists. That is not possible. But we get knowledge from the best scientific man or person, that personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vyasadeva, Narada, Asita, Devala, later on the Acharyas, Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Shankaracharya, Chaitanya. Our process of knowledge is not any speculation. It may be perhaps, no, we don't accept this knowledge. It may be perhaps, these are all foolishness. That means, one who has no perfect knowledge, he will say, it may be, perhaps. One who has definite knowledge, why he will say, it may be. It must be. That is knowledge. Just like we get knowledge from the śāstra, Jalajāna Malakhāna. There are 900 species or forms of life in the water. So we have not gone into the water. But we get from the authorities, Padma Purāna, and we accept it. So our process of knowledge, you may say that you have not practically experimented, but what you have experimented, you also hear from others. You believe that they have gone to moon planet, you have not gone. You have heard from somebody in the newspaper, that's all. That is your authority. So if you can believe in the newspaper, then I cannot believe in the śāstras. So it is a different source of knowledge. But one text, one source, another text, another source. Our source of knowledge is Krishna or Krishna's disciples. That is our. Evaṁ parampara prāptam imaṁ rājat sayobhid. This is the source of knowledge. Avarahopanta. Knowledge coming from higher authorities. Just like this of them is giving knowledge to his sons. That is natural. Sons take advice from the father. That is the beginning of knowledge. If a little child asks the father, "My dear father, what is this machine?" The father says, "My dear child, this is called microphone." So when the child says, after hearing from the father, that it is microphone, that is perfect knowledge. The child may be an innocent child, he does not know, he is not a scientist. But when, after hearing from the authority father, if he says it is microphone, that statement is correct, there is no mistake. Similarly, we may be fools and rascals, that's all right. But when we receive knowledge from Krishna, who says, "Asmin dehe, dehin asmin, jat kaumara jovana, tatha dehantara prat." When Krishna says that within this body there is the living soul, and the living soul is transmigrating, tatha dehantara prati, as we are getting different bodies in this life also, from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to old body, then what is after old body? Tatha dehantara prati. You get another body. But we do not know what kind of body we are getting. Where is that science? Where is that education? That there is dehantara prati, there is transmigration of the soul, and there are so many different types of body. Suppose in this body I am very comfortably situated, I am a very big man, or very great minister, politician, everything is all right. But in the next life, if I am going to get the body of a dog, who can check it? Nature's law will go on. At that time, as minister or big man, if you dictate that give me a body like this, that will not be heard. You'll get a type of body according to your karma. Karmala-daiva-netrena jantar-deho-vapatti. According to your karma, you'll get a type of body. This is nature's law. Prakite-kriyamanani-gunai-karmani-sarva. You are completely under the grip of nature's law. We cannot change it. If you challenge that there is no death, no, death will come, that is nature's law. And if you want to stop death, then that is another process. That is described here. Kapo dibbang putra jina sattang suddhe. You have to accept this process of austerity by which he'll purify your existence. Then you'll get deathless life, eternal. Jadgatyana nivartanti tadhamam paramam mama. Takta dehang punarjanma naiti mamiti kohantiya. This is the science. This Bhagavad literature, this Vedic literature is giving you information how you can revive your original eternal life. Nitta sasatayang nahannati hannavani sarira. That is the business of human life, not to become mad like hogs and dogs and simply work very hard, wear his stool and eat it and get some strength and then enjoy senses. This is not life. This is not civilization. So Rishabhdev's instruction is tapo dibbanga putra gajina sattanga suddhe. Why it is necessary to purify my existence? Suddhe jasmad brahma saukham tu arantam. You are seeking after happiness, but your happiness is being checked. You have made very good arrangement for enjoying life, happiness, but it is being checked. You have to die. You make all nice arrangement, but you have to die. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Mittu sarva harascham. Aham, Krishna says that those persons who do not want me, or persons who do not like to understand God, they will see God, me, when? At the time of death, as Hiranyakashipu saw. He challenged always God. His son was devotee, and that was a misunderstanding between the father and the son. Father says the God is enemy, Vishnu is my enemy, you do not take the name of Vishnu, and the child, boy, will take, that is the cause of enmity. So, at the end, he saw Hiranyakashipu, saw Nrisimhadeva, immediately finished everything. So that is the case of everyone, that one has to meet death, and at the time of death, whatever arrangement he has made for so-called happiness will be taken up. Mrityu sarva harasta. Then he will be offered another body. It may be a human body, or it may be a dog's body, or a hawk's body, and we have to accept it. Prakitakiramanani gunai karmani sarvas. Ahamkara vimuratma katta aham iti mannate. Karanam gunasanga asya. Sadasat janmajuni. The laws of nature is working, and as he is infecting a particular type of the more material nature, he is preparing his next body. Karanam gunasanga asya sadasat janmajuni. So in the human form of life, if you do not purify your existence, if you do not realize God, if you do not understand what is my relationship with God, then we are simply wasting time living like cats and dogs. These things should be stopped, and our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for stopping this rascal civilization and giving him life. Thank you very much. Yes? There are two, three Bharat. So, Shakuntala's son was Bharat, and Ramchandra's brother was Bharat, and the Rishabdev's son was Bharat. But from this Shastric information, we understand this Bharatvarsha is meant from the name of Rishabdev's son Bharat. Bharat. He had 100 sons. The eldest son's name was Bharat.
What do you think about the doctor in reincarnation?
I do not think anything. I have already explained. We do not think, perhaps, maybe.
You think reincarnation is there?
Yes, that is stated in the Shastra.
But what is your opinion about it?
I have no opinion. I take Shastra as it is. They train children as baby child. So how you can expect good civilization? Because everything is there. It is very difficult, undoubtedly. But if you train from the very beginning of life, that is stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Kaumaro acharet prago dharman bhagavatani ha durlabhaga manusanga janma tadapi adhurvam arthadam. He says, he was child, 5 years old. He was, his other, in tiffin hours, the other children of the demons They were playing, and Prahlad Maharaj was asking to sit down and hear him. He was preaching. My dear friends, kumaram acharit prago dharmanubhago. Don't spoil your life by playing. Now, this is the period of understanding Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means to understand God and our relationship with God and act accordingly. That is called Bhagavad Dharma. So, kumaro acharit prajna dharman bhagavat. If you want, we might have done mistakes in our life, but if we train our children in the brahmachari system and gradually they understand the Bhagavad Dharma, at least their life becomes perfect. And in the Bhagavat it is ordered that you'll find all this in this Rishabdesh in instruction. Pita na sasyad, janani na sasyad, sajano na da, guru na sasyad. One should not become guru, one should not become kinsman, one should not become father, one should not become mother. Namo chayaja samupita mittam. If one cannot give lesson to the children, how to avoid death? This is the duty of the guardians, of the government. How to avoid death? Where is that education? So that is the defect of the modern education. There is no training. So, gaddulika pravaha, it is going on. Very risky civilization.